Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, one of the biggest sorrows many of us have, myself included, is our own sinful past. We can't imagine how God could or would forgive us. Talk to us today about God and forgiveness.
You know, many have wondered whether or not their sins will be forgiven. And will all sins be forgiven? What about your sins, my sins? Is forgiving even more sins part of God's plan? And yet bigger, another question is, you know, does God want you saved? Well, let's answer that one first. The answer is yes. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to cut into verse 3. The Apostle Paul writes, God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants people to be saved. So he's got to do that involves forgiveness. Now, because of satanic deception, human society being cutting off from God, personal selfishness, the reality is, as it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. However, a lot of people familiar with John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People stop there, but they need to look at the next verse too. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Well, you've sinned, I've sinned. Jesus didn't come to say, look, you're really a bad sinner and you've got no hope. Okay. God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And furthermore, we all sin, even Christians. The Apostle John was inspired to write, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So what are we supposed to do? He tells us the answer in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
In that last verse, God said, if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. Is confession a prerequisite to forgiveness?
Yes, God will forgive you if you confess your sins and repent. Your sins will not be forgiven if you're unwilling to repent.
Will God forgive any and all sins if we confess that we confess to committing?
Yes, but there is one that is unpardonable. Okay. What's that? Basically, the unpardonable sin is a sin that will not be forgiven because it won't be repented of. The Bible makes it clear that God's willing to forgive our sins if we confess and repent of them. What if that doesn't happen? The reality is, while the wages of sin is death, we also learn that there's a sin that does lead to eternal death and one that does not. We read this in 1 John, starting chapter 5, verse 16. It says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life for those who committed sin, not leading to death. That he there is Jesus. There's a sin leading to death. I do not say he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's a sin not leading to death. So there's a sin that leads to death, which would be the unpardonable sin, and the other sin that does not. And we're all physically going to die. We're just talking about the second death, as far as the sin leading to death. And what sin does that? You know, some who fell away, who've been associated with the Church of God, and made efforts to come back, they've wondered if they committed unpardonable sin. And others have wondered if certain sins they have could be forgiven. And from time to time, I get emails from people who wonder if they committed the unpardonable sin. So this is not a new concern. Back in 1959, the old Radio Church of God put out an article. And let me read from this. Fear of the unpardonable sin. The most destructive and terrifying thought that can enter a Christian's mind is the thought that he or she's been completely cut off from God by having committed the unpardonable sin. Think of it for a moment. You know how it's going to be, yet what will happen if you're cut off from God forever? Sin separates us from God. And he cites Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. It says the unpardonable sin cuts us off from God forever. Cut off from God. He won't hear your voice in prayer. No matter how long, hard you prayed, he'll never hear you again. The fear of having committed the unpardonable sin is very real. It's a fear that many of God's people have had. It's the one of the most potent weapons of Satan the devil to make us believe we no longer have access to God, that we've been cut off forever. Fear of this kind can utterly destroy us, can throw us in such a fit of despair that we no longer want to live. To a true Christian, there's no life but service to God. If one feels he or she has lost his connection to God, there's nothing else to live for. In this frame of mind, Satan can easily overpower us and destroy us, which is his goal. Let me finish this quote with reading this. It says, in order to be sure that we do not fall into this destructive trap, we need to fully understand what the unpardonable sin is. We need to look in the Bible, the very word of God, for the answer.
So then, does the Bible help us understand what that unpardonable sin is?
Yes. Jesus mentions it, for example, in Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 28. He says, assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, whoever blasphemies they utter. So if you talk about against God the Father or Jesus, will be forgiven. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. So there's a difference between blasphemy and then what the Holy, something to do with the Holy Spirit. Now, because of the apostasy that hit the old worldwide Church of God after the death of Herbert Armstrong, there were people who stayed with the apostate group too long, as well as others who left the Church of God entirely, and they've wondered if they committed the unpardonable sin. But if they've repented, they have not committed the unpardonable sin. Sometimes God will give them more time. Jesus actually related a story that backs this up. In Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 6, said a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came seeking fruit on it, and he didn't find any. So he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've been coming looking for fruit of this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But the keeper answered and said to him, sir, let alone this year, till I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, and if not, after that you can cut it off. So Jesus is actually teaching here that while God may grant the unfruitful time to produce fruit, and that can apply just about everybody, there are also limits the amount of time will be granted. So don't think you've been unfruitful. You can still be that way. You don't want to do that because then you are risking the unpardonable sin. Getting back to something else Jesus taught in Luke, previous chapter, Luke chapter 12, we read, the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him their portion of the fruit in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he'll make him ruler over all he has. But the servant says in his heart, my master's delaying his coming. He does various things he shouldn't do and doesn't do what he's supposed to do. He will cut him in two and appoint him with his portion of the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will be beaten with many stripes. But he who didn't know, yet committed things deserving the stripes, will be beaten with few. For everyone who much is given, to him much will be required. Him who much is committed, to him will ask even more. So Jesus is teaching that believers are subject to being treated as unbelievers, and that those who will be given more will be held to higher standard than those who received less. Therefore, we should be doing the work.
One of the scriptures you just quoted said, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, Jesus said that again in Matthew chapter 12, starting verse 31. He said, every sin and blasphemy forgiven, but anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. He speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. Which again shows the Holy Spirit's not the same category. Holy Spirit's something believers are granted after repentance and baptism and having hands laid on them. The Bible also warns in Hebrews chapter 6 that if you're enlightened and taste the good word of God, we are we are not to fall away and crucify the Son of God again. The other another thing that we learn in Hebrews chapter 2, starting verse 1, is we have to give more earnest heed to things we've heard, lest we drift away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can we escape? We neglect so great a salvation. You know, so we see that the only sin that's not going to be forgiven in this age is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that seems to be further defined as knowing and willingly rejecting or neglecting the Holy Spirit, which is received after repentance and baptism. Those who don't know or have never received God's Holy Spirit, as well as those who are deceived and departed from the Church of God but have repented, they have not committed the unpardonable sin. We realize that if we sin willfully after we've received a knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. But we also see that, as John said, we have to confess our sins. John also said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So don't think just because you've been baptized and you've committed some sins, because we all do, that you will not be forgiven.
That seems like that would mean that everyone who has received the Holy Spirit has committed the unpardonable sin.
It might appear that way, but that's not what the scripture is telling us. If you look at the totality again, it says we confess our sins. And if we so obviously that means we're still doing it. But the other thing is people overlook mercy. You know, it says in James chapter 2, verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. And mercy is one of the weightier matters of the law. And mercy will triumph over judgment. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, we read that if a righteous man turns from his righteousness, commits iniquity, he will die. That's Ezekiel 3, verse 20. And that death is talking about the second death, not the physical death, but the one that comes after the resurrection. But Ezekiel also says if someone was a sinner and then they repent, become righteous, then they'll live. And that's the message of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I realize that, you know, we read certain things in English, we're translated from the Bible, it looks like we have no hope if we've sinned mm-hmm. after we've been baptized. But the reality is we've all sinned after we've been baptized. And forgiveness of sin is part of God's plan. You know, basically, the historical position of the Church of God is that those who worry about committing the unpardonable sin most likely haven't committed it. The fact that they're concerned shows they haven't intentionally turned their back on God and God's ways. Now, God's plan includes forgiving more sins than many think. Now, we have a free book we've got here. It's available at ccog.org called Universal Offer of Salvation. And basically, this book shows that God does have a plan to forgive sins for people in this age as well as the age to come. If you want to learn more about that age to come, again, this book is free at ccug.org. Anyway, the reality is, as I've read from the Bible, God wants all saved, and he doesn't want humans to commit the unpardonable sin. That's why only some are called in this age, and others are going to be called in the age to come. But nearly all others will repent and accept God's ways. You know, biblical reality is God will forgive you and me, and our audience, if each of us will confess our sins and repent.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.